Are you like me? Whenever I have a project at home that requires professional help, I never know where to go to find reliable and honest help. AngiesList.com/Amber is a wonderful resource where you'll find thousands of unbiased ratings on services for your home improvements, car repairs, and even doctors. When you visit AngiesList.com/Amber, you will receive 25% off your subscription. Let AngiesList.com/Amber take away the guesswork to be able to find a quality service provider for your next project.
It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do it right. Amber May's show is here with topics you like out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
Well, welcome to the Amber May Show. I am so excited about this program today. We are talking about breaking strongholds, and specifically right now, sexual strongholds. I just feel like it is prevalent all over, and we need to do something to break it because it could lead to our total destruction, and it does destroy lives. And today we're going to be speaking with a man who's overcome a pornography addiction. It was a big pornography addiction where he lost everything, his business, his family, his life. And his name is Barry Norman. You might have heard him on a previous show here on 1010 KXXT, but I think his story is so important to get out, because if you're suffering with an addiction such as pornography and any addiction whatsoever, there's hope and you can be restored and you can overcome and it doesn't have to overtake you. So welcome, Barry, to the program.
Thank you, Amber. Glad to be here.
I'm so excited because your testimony is so powerful. It starts out sad, but there's a happy ending, and I love that about your story. Can you kind of tell us how it all got started?
It started very, very early. At an early age, approximately 9 or 10 years old, I was very intrigued with the opposite sex, and I had found some pornography in my grandfather's basement. And that opened the door, Pandora's box, basically. And because there was no real education at the time for this type of thing, it was just, nobody really dealt with it.
I hear that, actually. I've heard that by a counselor, Pastor Stan Whitney, and other men that are dealing with this to help other people recover. They said that their experiences, or people that they've known experiences, start at such a young age where they'll come across something. One guy said that he just felt like all of a sudden his spirit like latched onto him, where all of a sudden he just felt funny, and it started his pornography addiction, which led to his homosexual lifestyle. But do you think your grandfather knew you found the stash?
I never knew whether he knew or not. I'm not sure.
That's why I think it's so important that if you as a parent are involved in that, I think it's time to clean your house, because one day someone's going to find it, and you probably don't want your little kids to find your stuff there. So I would say it's a good idea to start cleaning your house, right?
Amen. Not to blame my grandfather, but the Bible does say that these sins are going to be visited upon the generations.
Yeah.
And we have the obligation to break that generational curse.
That's right. Absolutely. So what happened? So you started at 9 looking at it, and then how did it progress to... you had incarceration time and losing your business and your family. So kind of walk us through what happened in your life.
Well, very briefly, I got very curious and very inquisitive of the opposite sex. Of course, at the time we were inundated in the 60s with sexuality, free love, peace, the hippie movement, so forth. It just, like I say, it overwhelmed me, and there was no real education. The churches were teaching us if you have sex and get a woman pregnant, you better be ready to marry her. There was no further counseling or even insight on that particular subject. And so as it overwhelmed me, I became more and more intrigued, and then my stepfather had been violating me, and a teacher also violated me. And that compounded the issues and confused me, but... it still made it worse for me.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, at that time, you could tell your parents that a teacher had molested you, and it was, no, she didn't. That doesn't happen. And it was just fluffed over and ignored.
And that's really sad. If a kid, why would a kid make that up? I mean, there are sometimes kids are devious, and But generally speaking, most kids are coming to you because you're their protection as a parent.
Right.
And it's unfortunate that so many, you hear these stories all the time that the parents aren't believing their kids, and I don't understand. So if your kid is coming up to you, please take that very seriously, because that could lead them to the path you took. You had no one helping you overcome this. I mean, that would be confusing as a young man. And it's funny because a law enforcement officer said, be careful for boys, especially up until the age of 17, because both sexes go after the boy.
Yes.
Whereas the girls, predominantly, it's the male. But for the boys up until about 16, 17, be very watchful, because both sex will try and go after your son. And most people in society don't really think about watching the boys, because we're always trained up in society. They can take care of themselves or strong. But that's not up until like that time. They're kind of still weak and unprotective because they need their parents. They're small still.
It's unfortunate too, though, as we grow up, we mature physically, and many of us don't mature mentally. And there's still a little boy, a little child inside of us, and
mm-hmm.
that child needs to be nurtured and developed spiritually.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Wow, so how many years did that go on where you were abused?
The abuse stopped when I joined the Marine Corps at 17 years old, and I got away from all my father's abuse. My father was very abusive physically as well, and that led to many, many problems, so I left and joined the Marine Corps.
And did you have siblings that were also being attacked by your stepfather?
My stepfather also abused my little brother, but not to the extent that he abused me physically. I don't know what extent sexually, but
mm-hmm.
they have a much closer relationship, and I don't understand all the aspects of that.
When you were going through this, did you ever think about hating God? Was that ever an issue in your mind?
I got to the point when I finally hit jail and I hit rock bottom that I told God he's got to prove himself to me before I'll believe, because this is just unbelievable. How could he let this happen to me? But then as I started studying God's Word and reading for myself and meeting with the Spirit in a personal way inside of a jail cell, it became real to me to realize that God does put us in jail and God does stop us. If he loves us that much to punish us. The Bible is very clear on that he punishes those he loves and
mm-hmm.
chastens us. And
just like a good parent would.
Amen.
Because I could understand your perspective on that. Loving God at that, you know, hating him, because how could that happen to you? But I know for one thing is God didn't want that to happen to you, and I'm sure that he was grievous for you, because it's our choices, it's our sinful nature, and God gives us choices, and we have to deal with the consequences, good or bad, and because we live in a fallen state, people are going to hurt us, but that doesn't mean God doesn't wants that for us, because God says in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope in a future. That's his plans for you, but that's not what everyone else's plans are always for you.
And that's a very interesting perspective, because if you read the beginning of that concept, God said, I will put you in exile for your sins. So
mm-hmm.
the consequences were the exile, but then I know the plans I have for you from through this chastening.
Right.
That I plan on purifying your heart and changing your life, and you will seek me with your whole heart.
So did things get better after you joined the Marines, or were you done with pornography, or was it still kind of getting
well,
you?
Actually, at home and on the farm, there was very little pornography other than what I found at my grandfather's,
mm-hmm.
and that, of course, burned into my imagination to where that when I became a free man that I could go and travel on my own, go shopping on my own, I discovered that pornography was readily available at many different outlets, and I started possessing that in my home, and was very involved with that at home. The Marine Corps actually escalated the addiction because they promote sexuality. The old saying in the Marine Corps is we're oversexed and underpaid killers.
Wow. Yeah. That's an interesting perspective. I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
Huh, so it didn't help. I mean, you avoided the abuse in your home, but your underlying issue was still there.
Yes.
Throughout the whole time in your Marine Corps, you were dealing with this, and you didn't think anything of it, right? You thought all the other guys are doing it, it's no big deal, I'm normal, this is just what happens. But then you said something that was really intriguing to me. It got burned in your brain, these images. And another gentleman who was a counselor who helps men also said this to me, that these images get burned in your brain.
Yes, that's very true.
And so you can remember, and another guy actually came talk to our youth group at our church, said he remembers the first time he ever saw pornography, that image was still in his brain.
Yes.
It got burned in there. So it's something that is not to be taken lightly when you see this. I'm not a man, but correct me if I'm wrong, but would you say sexuality could be a man's weakness because they desire it so much?
Absolutely. A man's downfall is the visual, where a woman's downfall is the emotional.
Right.
And so the men are more visual in their reaction. It's just a huge problem that is inundating society, that it's very bad.
So did you got married eventually. Did you marry your wife during the Marine Corps time or after you got out?
I met my first wife while I was in the Marine Corps and married her. It was the situation that my mother and the church told me, if you have sex with a woman, you better be prepared to marry her. And
mm-hmm.
I was leaving for the East Coast from California, and she was distraught that I was leaving and thought I'd never come back. So she, had sex with me to try to cement our relationship, to try to make sure I would come back, and I did, and I came back and married her, which was all for sexuality. It wasn't for emotional or spiritual attachment whatsoever.
Can you maybe give us some insight? Maybe you can't. I'm going to ask you this question. If you're a dating couple and a girl wants, I think deep down a girl wants to marry that man, and obviously they're, for lack of a better word, they're playing house. They're not married, but they're living together. They're sharing the same bed, having sex. What's a guy's perspective on that? Do you think he really loves her? Is it kind of, or could it be the situation like you're in, or could it be both? Maybe he does love her, or maybe it's a situation where it was all about the sex. I mean, in a situation like that, do you have any perspective on that?
Well, unfortunately, there's no textbook definition or definity in that particular question. But in each individual case, usually it is for the man the convenience and of sexuality. Most men don't understand the intimacy or the woman's heart that needs that protection and that security of mm-hmm. the love that I will be there and die for you, as Jesus told us.
Right. Yeah. Because that is the beat of a woman's heart. She wants, when she's doing that with a man, it's because she has an emotional attachment to him. They've created a bond at that point. And,
right.
I mean, it's very heartbreaking for a woman to keep, breaking up with a guy after she slept with him, especially if they've been living together for a number of years. That's very difficult. But so you got married, and was your addiction with pornography over at that point, or did it increase? And tell us about that.
Actually, my father-in-law came to me and had a man-to-man talk. It was very embarrassing for me at 18 years old. And he told me that my wife had told him that I had a pornography addiction, and he told me that had to stop. And I said, nonsense, every man does this. And he says, well, you're hurting my daughter, and I want you to stop. And our marriage dissolved a few weeks later.
Wow, so it didn't last very long.
No, the first marriage was only about 6 months.
Wow. Yeah. If you've listened to any of my past shows, we did a show on pornography to a little degree. And we talked about, at least the counselor I had on, he came on and he said that to a woman, and if she sees her man looking at pornography, to a woman that feels like he's cheating on her, because a woman's identity is, does my husband think I'm attractive? Because a woman deep down wants her husband to be pleased by her in everything, because we were meant to help man, and God put it in our desire to want our husbands to be pleased by us, whether it's physically, sexually, friendship, emotionally, anything. We want our husbands to be pleased by us. And when we see a man looking at that as a wife, you would start believing that maybe I'm not pretty enough, maybe I don't please him enough. And that starts really affecting the self-esteem. And maybe that's what happened in your case. I can't speak for her, but that's very likely that could have happened.
That is absolutely what happens. And that's very, you hit it very precisely. the description you just gave is exactly what happens with a pornography addiction, is that the man becomes focused on other attention, and that does devastate the woman's self-esteem, the woman's security, and it starts her looking inward and doubting herself and becoming less and less. And then at the same time, it's a terrible revolving door, because now the woman is feeling insecure, so it reflects in their sexuality in their own marriage. And then the husband becomes more discouraged and goes to more pornography.
Really? It didn't wake you up?
No, it did not wake me
up.
Oh,
my gosh.
I was totally blinded to this.
So was it a heartbreak on you that drove you to it? Or explain that a little bit to us about...
Well, the number one bottom issue is that God is love.
Mm-hmm.
And the number one thing that a human being desires is to be loved. And when we look for love in each other, we're going to fail. We're going to hurt each other. We're going to say things. But if we are complete in God and we have the vertical relationship with God and with Christ and the Holy Spirit in our hearts, we're complete people. And then when two complete people can come together,
mm-hmm.
it's basically a heaven on earth.
Right. Yeah. And so the dissolution of your marriage drove you further into it.
Yeah.
What happened at this point? Were you single for a while or...
Yes, for about 3 years.
3 years? Yeah. And during that time, did you... Because I know you owned your own business, so when did that start?
That was all interwoven with the marriage. First marriage, I restored an old truck, and I took it to a show, and a man found me there and offered me a job in the movies. And
wow.
That escalated to I became my own agent, to escalating to I was the... one of the largest automotive prop suppliers in Hollywood from the 70s through the 90s.
Wow, so we might have seen some of your cars in these movies.
Yeah,
that's so
definitely
interesting.
Did. Every car on television and movies through the 70s and 90s I was somehow involved with.
That is awesome. So Back to the Future, was that one of yours too?
Yes, I had an exclusive on that.
Wow, cool, that is awesome. So that didn't stop you from pornography with this other, you know, your attention's diverted now into movies and things like that?
What happens in Hollywood especially is it magnifies an addiction, because you have more money than you know what to do with. You're looking for that emptiness in your heart to be filled, and you take your money and your time and your talents, and you go out and you find things that fill what you think is going to fulfill your need, and it all becomes emptiness, and it gets worse and worse, and you just can't quite grasp what's going on in your heart.
And the money thing, so pornography is even more available to you because you have the finances to keep purchasing it.
That's correct.
And in the 90s, we had the internet come out, which only made pornography even more readily accessible.
That devastated me. My friend gave me a computer in the early 90s to help my business, and
mm-hmm.
Getting online did indeed increase my business, but it also devastated me because now instead of spending a lot of money on pornography, there was multi-millions of images that were available for free.
And at this time, at this stage, you got married again.
Yes.
Now, how did pornography affect your second marriage?
Equally. My second marriage was actually, the pornography didn't affect my second marriage as much, which only lasted 3 years, the marriage, because the woman I married was also sexually addicted, and I did not realize that. And
wow.
She ended up having affairs on me, and I became the victim of not being good enough, and what's wrong with me, and why does she go out with other men, and that devastated me.
So you both had a problem with this.
Yes.
Now, sometimes I've heard from TV and different things that pornography made the man make his wife do things that she wasn't comfortable with. Was that a factor in your marriage too?
Very much. What happens is, I need to go back a little bit in
okay.
our conversation, is the Bible talks much about thought.
Right.
And Jesus said if you even look at a person with lust in your heart, you're committing adultery.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus taught us the spirit of the law, not just the absolute of the legalism of the law. And, you know, there's... You know, you can not have sex with a person, but you're imagining this, and Jesus says you're just as guilty because it's infiltrating our mind. And as doctors and psychologists are proving today, this literally opens our mind to pathways that you know, must be closed and redirected. Mm-hmm. And once that is redirected, Paul speaks about casting down imaginations. He speaks about be completely transformed by the renewing of your mind. And those are the tools that God gave me to use to actually turn away from this.
Wow. So that could be humiliating for a wife to have to be subjected to doing things that are very degrading, I would imagine, some of the stuff. Without getting into graphic detail, I'd imagine some of the stuff you see, because I've never looked at that kind of stuff, but I'm just imagining that I'm sure there's some degradation there. There's some uncompromised things that is shown in those videos and magazines and things like that.
Pornography, the biggest problem is that it degrades women, and it also objectifies women to becoming property rather than an emotional and a spiritual partnership, to where that I own a car, I own a wife. And so what you see in pornography becomes your reality as you try to act it out and you try to live it. It becomes ingrained in your personality to where I literally started expecting my wife to do things I was watching on pornography.
And at that point, it moves way beyond love, because you're not loving your wife when you're doing those things.
That's very true.
And like a wife, because now it's even getting stronger within the women, pornography. And when she's making her husband subject to this stuff, it's not loving him. It's filling your own selfish desires inside and hurting somebody else. And this all led to incarceration, did it not?
Yes, it did.
Tell us a little bit about that.
I got so ingrained on the computer pornography that my interests were vast, and I started getting more and more into more taboo areas, to where I delved into looking at child pornography and out of curiosity. And thank God that my wife had broken into my office. I kept it locked up, and she was looking for something that she thought I was having an affair, which I was. And she discovered what was alleged to be child pornography, and that led to an arrest, which was a literal fight for my life, because the law right now is 10 years minimum mandatory sentence for one image of child pornography.
Wow.
Yes.
So it got to be easily a lifetime that you're behind bars.
Easily. I know many men that are behind bars for the rest of their lives.
Now, can you shed some light on why an adult would even look at a child like that?
Mostly because of the curiosity factor of more and more deviant behavior. You know, it just... what you did yesterday isn't as enough to satisfy today. It's that emptiness in the heart I was trying to fill. I also had that unnurtured little boy inside that was curious, that went back to his childhood to catch up. And
did the adults not see them as a child at this point because their mind's so corrupted? Or
that can happen, yes.
Yeah. See, this is why I feel like I'm talking about the subject, because A, it destroyed your life. It destroyed two marriages. It's separated you from being able to talk to your children, because during this time he's had children, right?
Yes.
And you yourself have been hurt. It's not like you haven't, but it doesn't give you permission to do what you've done by no means.
Right.
So it's this sexual stronghold is affecting so many people on so many levels. I bet you had a feeling that it didn't hurt anyone. It was just you.
Right.
Right? And that's the lie we tell ourselves when we're involved in something, either drugs or whatever it might be. It's not hurting anyone. It's just me. So why care?
Amen.
Because it does hurt somebody.
Right.
It hurts your loved ones. It definitely hurts you. And if it doesn't hurt your loved ones, which I can't believe that, it definitely hurts God.
Amen.
So it's not just hurting yourself. And God gives us the choices, either do this or do that. He sets the guideline in the Bible, and he sets that because he wants our protection. But he's not a dictator where he's going to force us to do anything, because if you force someone, then that's not true love. And he wants true love. He wants a true relationship with you. And so that's why I'm talking about this, because your life has been affected dramatically. And I want someone to wake up and say, hey, you know what? My life's going down this direction. I don't want it.
Amen.
And I want America as a society to stand up for the people who don't have a voice like you when you were a little kid.
Amen.
I think it's very important. So tell us about your incarceration experience. You finally met God in your incarceration, and that's how you started getting the restoration in your life?
Well, as I said before, with the Jeremiah chapter 11 this issue of God knows the plans he has for us to prosper us. Mm-hmm. We love to glean the promises of God. Mm-hmm. And when we're out in society, it's so easy to look for the promise and the blessing and the worldly pleasure. But God showed me a different blessing was the spiritual inward pleasure that he loves me, he accepts me, he affirms me right where I was without one thing in this world to hold on to. I lost 43 antique cars. I lost an antique car museum. I lost two businesses. I lost the movie car company. I lost my family. I lost my dignity. I lost my freedom. Mm-hmm. And that's where God met with me, and he showed me that these promises are real, but they're not in a worldly realm. These blessings aren't to be claimed to have worldly wealth necessarily. They're mm-hmm. claimed to have the spiritual wealth, and then God knows he can trust us with what he gives us in the world to do his glory.
Right. How did you finally overcome it? You met God, and that definitely starts the healing process. Did you go into some kind of recovery, like Celebrate Recovery or anything like that out of it?
I took every single available class and program that the jail had to offer, and I do thank the jail system that there are outlets to go through. There was many addictive behavior classes, anger management classes, so forth, and I applied those all to what I was reading in God's Word, and I learned that secular psychology is based 99.9% on Jesus's teachings.
Really?
But without the power of the Holy Spirit, you do it in your own power in secular psychology.
And we can't.
And we cannot.
Nope. Because if you could have done that by yourself, you probably would have done it.
I would have. I white knuckled it many, many times, but then I just fell right back into it.
So in a world that is so obsessed with sex, how do you go day to day?
Right now, it is becoming easier and easier as you focus upon the Holy Spirit's power in you. You allow Christ to crucify your flesh. You cast down the imaginations. I'm not saying I'm not tempted, but as Jesus, when he was tempted, cast that imagination down by speaking scripture to the devil.
That's right, he did. Because even in the Garden of Gethsemane, and a couple weeks ago we had the story of Easter and the resurrection and stuff.
Amen.
He said, I don't really want to do it. And it was a temptation. You could see how he really didn't want to do it. But he said, let your will be done.
Amen. That's the key.
And if there was a man or a woman even listening right now who is struggling and needs hope or advice, what would you give them?
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you.
And God loves them, right?
Amen.
He didn't just cast them out because they're struggling, did he?
That's right. And then once we realize that God loves us, God accepts us, and God affirms us, that starts the healing. And it's just like physical heart surgery. It doesn't happen overnight. That healing takes many, many years. And people are a right now generation. We want everything instantaneous.
That's
we
right.
want microwave food. We
yep.
want drive-through restaurants. But God still says, wait upon me.
And I want to let you know, if you are dealing with this and you want help, there are churches out there that have Celebrate Recovery. Just search for that online, Celebrate Recovery. There's churches here in the Valley and across the United States. And there is help for you, and we need to break this. For those of you that don't struggle with this problem at this moment, there's other things you do struggle with, and there is hope for you. But we do need to help those who don't have a voice, the children, and other people that don't know Christ, never had a relationship with him, that could use our help. And let's do something as believers, because all things are possible with God, to break this sexual stronghold that has plagued our country, so that other men and other women's lives will not be destroyed. And remember, instead of thinking about just yourself, number one, think about somebody else, number two, because eventually number two is going to look out for you.
Amen.
Take care.
The Amber May Show is a paid affiliate of AngiesList.com.